Amen. You know, there's an element of church that we seem to lose many times today. And that element is where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is
liberty.
Amen. When you come to church, you should be free. I said free to worship God. Hallelujah. Your worship should be dependent on anything, anyone else. But as Minister Simon said, as they were singing Hosanna, it should be an intimate thing between you and your God. Can I get an amen? Amen. So we just thank God this afternoon. Amen. We thank God for all the family of Sister Lorianne and baby Jordan. And God bless us. Say, come safely over the highways as we travel to be here with us. Truly, God is good. How many know God is good? How many know God is good? I don't know what you might be going through, but God is good, and in his mercies endureth forever. Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand for our scripture reading, which will be coming from Acts chapter 9. We're going to read verses 1 through 12, and then we'll conclude by reading verses 17 and 18 together. Amen. One thing for sure I've learned through the years, Jesus never fails. People can fail you. People will let you down. But Jesus, never. Can we say never?
Never.
Come on, can we say never?
Never.
Jesus never fails. Amen. Verse 1 reads, do we all have it? And if you don't have it, it's on the screen. Amen. Y'all gonna loosen up with me a little bit? I don't like a quiet church. Now, all y'all Jamaicans, I know y'all used to have a church. Come on, y'all. Jump with me. Amen. Amen. We got people from Jamaica, from Africa, from this one, that one, and everywhere. All right. Amen. The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord. Come on, let the redeemed of the Lord, whom he has redeemed out of the hands of the. Aren't you so glad that he rescued you? If the devil was on his way, you wouldn't be here today. You wouldn't be here right now. So aren't you so glad that he rescued you? Then you ought to say so. Amen. Amen. I said I'm going to be long, but I just can't help it. I just get excited. Anybody ever get excited in Jesus? You know, when you look at the world and the conditions and everything that's going on, the only thing you can really get excited about is being in Jesus. Because you have an assurance in Jesus. He said, I will never leave you and I'll never forsake you. He said, but I'll be with you. There's not a man, there's not a woman, there's no one else alive that can say, I'll be with you. Hallelujah. But if you're in Jesus, I heard somebody say, if you're in Jesus, there's no separation. Hallelujah. Paul said, who can separate us from the love of God within? Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Verse 1 reads, and Saul, yet breathing now threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogue, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven.
He heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?
And he said, who art thou, O Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to get against the prince. And he entered me and the son said, Lord,
let us pray. Heavenly Father, Oh God, we thank you on this afternoon. Lord, we're not here today because of anything that we've done. Lord, but we're here because you've been good. Lord, we're here because you've been a keeper. Lord, we're here because you've been a way maker. Lord, we're here because you look beyond all of our faults and you saw our needs. Now, Lord, our hearts desire is that you might dwell in this place. And Lord, send a word of inspiration. Lord, send an anointing to bring every yoke. Lord, send your word to heal, send your word to deliver, and most of all, send your word to set free. And for this, we thank you. Can we all say in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Amen. You may be seated. Most of us are pretty familiar with the story of Saul. Amen. And how he felt as though he was doing God's will in persecuting the church. Amen. Persecuting the church. So our topic, can I give y'all the topic in advance? Amen. So you can think about it. You have your eyes open, but you still can't see.
Amen.
You got your eyes open, but you still can't see. And if we were to have a subtopic, it would be blind prejudice. Blind prejudice. And before we get into the scripture, when you think of prejudice is a preconceived thing that happens in your life. Amen. If we take a group of babies, Chinese, Japanese, Black, American, if we took them all and put them in a room, they would get along just like there's nothing. But those same children, after experiencing life and being in different environments, when they get older, they will isolate certain people because of a preconceived notion in their mind for what they think is acceptable. But those same children in innocence, amen, they'll get along with everybody. They don't care if you're Black, they don't care if you're white. They don't care if you're big, they don't care if you're small. They do not have a preconceived notion in their mind for what they think is the standard of righteousness. Well, Paul had blind prejudice. Because we read about it in Philippians chapter 3, he said he was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. He was a Pharisee. He said, touching the law, he was blameless. But even in all of his religion, he was still blinded spiritually. There are a lot of people today that are rich, religious, but they're still blind. A lot of people go to church, but they are still blind. Amen. They go to church, but they have developed their own personal belief system. And their personal belief system is contrary to God. And Isaiah the prophet explains it this way. He says, God says, your thoughts are not my thoughts. And neither are your ways my ways. He says, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my thoughts to your thoughts, and my ways to your ways. Amen. So we can have our own way of thinking, but that doesn't mean that God is thinking that way. And in America and across the world today, people have put up some prejudices because of life experiences, because of traditions, because of some things that they're going through. They have their eyes open, but they can't see. God can be moving in their midst. God can be performing miracles of healing all around them, but their eyes have been closed because of their own blind prejudice. And the Lord Jesus himself said, having eyes, they see not. And having ears, they hear not. He said, this people, and this is what happens when you're blind. He said, this people draw near to me with their mouth, but their hearts are far from. That's when you have eyes, but you do not see. Amen. The Apostle Paul said the church should walk by faith and not by sight. Because when you begin to walk by your years, right? You 40 or 39? 40. In 17 years, he developed his own belief about God. So for 16 or so years, he accepted what the professional said. But somewhere after 16 or so years, he began to believe God for himself. And in believing God for himself and not being governed by the tradition, not being governed by what the professional said, God performed a miracle of healing. They sing a song saying in the midnight hour. How many know in the midnight hour God can turn it around? I said, how many know that in the midnight hour, hallelujah, no better than anybody else said God can? Anybody need God to turn it around? Hallelujah, don't have eyes and cannot see. But it's time to believe God. Amen. Well, Saul is a classic example of someone who was blinded through traditions. He was blinded through religion. Amen. You can be religious and not be saved. You can be religious and not have a personal relationship with the Lord. But how do we know this? Verse 1 reads that he was threatening and slaughtering the disciples of the Lord. He thought he was doing the right thing. How can you do the right thing and you're destroying other godly people? How is that right? You claim to be a child of God, but you're destroying others because of your prejudice. Because your prejudice blinds you, so everything that you believe about God is based on your personal opinion and not on the Word of God. Hallelujah. I'm so glad. Amen. One of the worst prejudices, is hidden prejudice. Amen. I grew up in the South in the 50s and the 60s. We dealt with prejudice, but it was an open prejudice. So you already knew what to expect because of the way the system was set up. But when we moved to New York in the 70s, we experienced blind prejudice. Yes, we did. Hallelujah. When I went to school, they had different levels of education. So because I was on the other side of blind prejudice, I was led to go the remedial way. But the same students that were in school with me were put in the advanced classes. And all through school, not to brag on it, but I was on the honor roll and on the high honor roll. But I never got led in the way of the advanced classes because of a hidden prejudice. Hidden prejudice, hallelujah, is worse than open prejudice. Even in church, some of us have developed some hidden prejudices. Amen. And God can't do this for this one, and God can't do it for that one based on your own personal experiences. So God is trying to bless and move someone in a certain direction, and you sit there all cold-hearted and starlight. I got to move to this. You got your eyes open. Lord, but you can't see. Hallelujah. Because when God is moving, how can 90 people be in church and see God moving until you be in church by yourself and say, what's wrong? Amen. God is touching and healing others, and you sit in church and say, God didn't move like that. That is called blind presence. Hallelujah. God has saved somebody and filled with the Holy Ghost, and then be speaking in tongues. Now with the RPI. You know, RPI is a very intellectual school, so they say. But when I went to RPI, I took a sociology class. And the number one thing they took using that sociology class, you know, they tell you, if A equals C and A equals B, then B equals C, you know, all that stuff, right? You know, reasoning? Come on, y'all. You don't know about reasoning, right? Paul said, be willing to any man's spoiling through philosophy and vain deceit after the rudiments of this world and not after never learn the language.
Right?
How are you going to speak in tongues and nobody taught you a language? Oh, the depth of the riches. Both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgment and his ways are. I said his ways are. Hallelujah. His ways are cast finding out. So they made us seem like we were wrong and all messed up. But I thank God. I got out of that class. Any class is going to tear down my God that I believe in, I can sit in that class. Because I made a stand for, well, that was prejudice. Because they didn't have the understanding concerning the scripture. Holy rulers were wrong. Speaking in tongues is crazy. I'm so glad. But I came from the south. I had a southern accent. Then I couldn't speak in it like the northerners, but I know God touched me. Thank you, Lord. God touched me.
Yes.
But blind Paul had a blind prejudice. And it was based on his religion. And I want to ask you a question. How many of you all have disqualified some people because of your religion? I don't care if you're Methodist, Baptist, Lutheran. You know what? God moves how he wants to move. And God can do what he wants to do. Let me ask you a question. What's wrong with speaking in tongues if God spoke to a donkey? Amen? Numbers 21 and 22. God spoke to a donkey through Balaam, but you mean he can't speak in another language to a man? The depths of the riches. Both of the wisdom. Persecuting God. I get kind of confused by that a little bit. Long as in church, Jesus told his disciples. My wife said, don't do this, right? Jesus told his disciples. She know what it is. That's right. He said, if they're not for against us, then they are. Because there was a time when they were going out doing things in his name, and the disciples said, we forbade them. Jesus said, don't do that. Hallelujah. Even though you don't understand it, he said, don't do that. Because if not, they are not against us, then they are for us. Today in church, we're doing a whole lot of stuff that ain't God. We're doing a whole lot of preconceived notions in our mind that's not God. Amen. The truth could be evident in your eyes and you can look at it, but because of your own biasness and prejudice, you cannot see it. So these were the people of God, and Paul was persecuting God's people and thinking he was doing the right thing by God. I don't know if this could be you this afternoon, but if you have developed your own prejudice, if you have developed your own closed-minded blindness, say, Lord, I need to have a real encounter. Because if you have a real encounter with Jesus, I assure you, you will never be the same. Hallelujah. So Paul was persecuting God's people and thought he was doing the right thing by God. So God, Paul was one of those so powerful, God said, you know what? The only way he's going to change, I got to get his attention. Then say, Lord, can we ask God? Say, ask God, say, help me get you. My God, get my attention. Hell is real and so is hell. Don't believe the devil's lie that when you die, you just go into an abyss and you're there forever. No, hell is real and so is hell. Ask God to give you a real encounter. Like Paul. His name was Saul, but then he became Paul. But Saul was on the road to Damascus to bound anyone that was found in this way. What was the way? The way was baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost. That was the way. Hallelujah. Jesus said, I am. Anybody So Paul was persecuting and threatening everybody in the way. And on the way to Damascus, the Lord stopped him in his track. And if you read about, I believe in chapter 22 or 26 of Acts, Paul gives a testimony, his personal testimony. He said, I was traveling at noontime, and the Lord shined a light that was brighter than the brightness of the sun. And the scripture said he fell down on his, or fell down before the light. And while he was down in the light, now remember, the rabbis, can I give y'all just a little something to think about? The rabbis didn't believe at this time that God spoke to mankind anymore. They believed that God speaking to man was over. That was their own prejudice. They believed that God did not speak to man anymore. Because the Pharisees were the, what was it. And God didn't speak to them, so they went by what was the law. So when the Lord stops Paul on the road to Damascus, and he says, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Now Saul is prejudiced, right? It's like, wait a minute. Who's this? It can't be God, because God don't speak anymore. So he's like, well, who are you? Lord, he figured, because it was so exceptional and extraordinary, it had to be the Lord. He said, well, who are you, Lord? He said, I am Jesus, whom you persecuted. Now let me ask you a question. Who was Paul persecuting, or Saul persecuting? The who? The church. We are the body of Christ. So he says, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? He said, Lord, what? This is when you have a real encounter. I'm not talking about one of them, I went to church. You know, I went to church, I go every Sunday. I'm talking about a real encounter. When God touches you. Saul said, Lord, what will you have me to do? That's a real encounter. A religious encounter? I go to church, I'm on the board, I do this, I do that, but you don't really know him for yourself. Paul said that I may know him, the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his. That's how you know you're really saved. When it's no longer about me, but it's all about Jesus. It's no longer about what would that? Can you say that from the depths of your heart today? Lord, what will you have me to do? But then, this is what I want you to consider. When he got up from the ground, the Bible said he was what? Blind. Because he had developed his own way of thinking contrary to God. And God wanted him to see the way that you've been thinking has been wrong, so he was blind. Now, all before this, because he was religious, he was leading everybody else. Hallelujah. But when you have an encounter with God, you learn to follow. When you have an encounter, you learn to follow. So they said they had to now lead Paul. And the scripture said for 3 days, Paul didn't neither eat nor drink. Now we know God, can God do anything? Come on, can God do anything? God can do anything. Could have changed Saul right there at this point. Why did God permit Saul to sit like that way for 3 days? Right? Because he's God. If he wanted to, all he had to do was say, okay, Paul, you understand now. You know what God wanted him to do? He needed those 3 days to break that prejudice. He needed 3 days to get him out of self and to get him to God. So for 3 days, he stayed in that condition, fasting and praying before God. Because he realized at this time, I'd be wrong. But God, if he chose to, could have changed it all that same. I know. See, I God speak to me in my mind. I know y'all believe. That's right. All y'all smile. That's right. You know what? We came to church. You might as well hear a word.
Amen.
You might as well hear a word. You know what? Because a lot of us have built some walls because of experiences. And your experiences have made you blame God. And God says, I went out when he examined Jesus. He said, all of you are doing this because of your prejudice. He said, but I find. That's what kind of God we serve. He's a no-fault God. I said, he's a no-fault God. So I'm almost finished. Amen. The scripture says that Paul stayed that way for 3 days. The good to God, 3 days. That's why Paul can say, I know him. Because in that private time, it was him and Jesus. Ask God to give you a moment like that. So he can change your situation. So he can change your blind prejudice. So he can open your eyes so that you can see. Hallelujah. It's time for a change. Time is ending. These are the last days. Live like you please. The Bible says, young man, do the desires of your heart, but know thou this, for all of these things God will bring you into judgment. So I'm gonna finish the story now. Tell me, finish the story. Y'all gotta do better than that. Y'all want me to finish? Y'all want me to finish? Like I said, finish the story, Pastor. Paul, for 3 days, was him and God. And God said, nah, all that prayer that you've been thinking is wrong. How long was Jesus down in the earth?
3 days.
You know what he said? He said, at the end of this, you're going to come forth and you're going to be a new creature. Hallelujah. Jesus said, no man take my life, but I lay it down and I have the power to pick it up. So for 3 days, he was down. But when he came up, he was a new. Take God. Say, God, listen, personally. Say, God, take me for 3 days. I'm tired of being like Thomas, I don't believe that Jesus was here. Now, how do you worry that? well, 11, it wouldn't be 11, be 10 at that time because Judas had hung himself. But there were 10 disciples saying Jesus was here. There's all these women saying Jesus is here. And blindness makes you sin alone.
Yes.
Amen. Presence will make you be by yourself. Anybody say, how do I always be by myself? Because you're blind to your own prejudice. So you don't have nobody with you. One man stood up and said, if I don't see it, I ain't going to believe it. I'm from down south, so I ain't this proper. Okay? He said, I ain't going to believe that. Because I didn't see it. And the Bible said about 8 days later, eight is number of what? New beginning. Right? 8 days later, God said, it's time for me to do a new thing. So I was like this for 3 days, but now I need a
new beginning.
A new thing. A new beginning. 8 days later, Jesus showed up because the disciples were in the room with the door shut. How many know when God come in, won't leave the door? God, speak to my circumstances. Lord, move my life. Those doors that the other people have closed, Lord, you come on in. Hallelujah. The people that have ripped me off and shut me up in prison, you come on in. Lord, come in. Hallelujah. They were shut for fear. The Bible said the doors were shut, but Jesus still came in. And because he needed a new beginning, there was only one that did not believe. I pray today, don't be the one. Say, Lord, don't let me be the one. I don't want to be the one that doubts. Because he that cometh to God must
believe.
He can't come to God and doubt. He that cometh to God must believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The scripture said, without faith, it's impossible to please God. He went right to the doubter. He said, Thomas, behold my hand. Thomas, a hole in my side. You said you wouldn't believe unless you eyes open, but still could not see. Why? Because he had developed his own system, his own preconceived notion for how he thought Jesus should be. Then after he saw it, he says, my Lord and my God. What do you call Jesus? My Lord and my
God.
And he said, blessed you are, Thomas. He said, but more blessed are those that have not
seen.
Ask God, say, Lord, stop. I want to stop asking to see some stuff. It's time for me to believe, as we all said. The elders and the ministers come forward. Do you have eyes this afternoon to see, but you cannot see? Are you blinded through your own prejudice? Do you need to have a true encounter with God? I know you've had some hardships and heartaches and some disappointments along the way. People have let you down. Church has even let you down. But God never lets us down. The scripture said God is faithful. And because he's faithful, he will now allow us to be tempted in that world that was with me. God is faithful. I don't know what you've experienced, but get rid of that blind prejudice. Get rid of those eyes that cannot see. It's time to see God this morning.